To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, man, are we loaded up for tomorrow's show? I mentioned yesterday, there were two things yesterday musically that caught my attention. One, in a very, very sad way, because Rahm Mallow of the Mavericks passed away from colon cancer at the age of 60, and I loved him dearly, and I will miss him so much, and it's one of my favorite performers ever. He always put a smile on my face. But then, on the other side of the equation, the Canadian rock trio Triumph. Now, you have to be of a certain age to appreciate this. They were KC Classics, though, back in the day here in St. Louis. They love St. Louis. They had a big, big following here, which is why we're on the list for the reunion tour, 50 years of Triumph. And Gil, who's the vocalist, you know, I had Rick Emmett on about 2 years ago, plays guitar for Triumph. He sings a little bit. Gil is the singer. He's going to join us tomorrow with a little promo of that tour. The tickets go on sale on Friday. Bethany Mandel will be here tomorrow from Jerusalem, so that'll be fun to catch up with Bethany. We have a Reardon Roundtable set for Friday with Jane, State Rep Steve Butts, and State Senator Nick Schroer. It's nice of Nick to make an appearance. We've only invited him every Friday for the last 3 months, and he's been busy all those times, but I guess he's making an exception. It's been a few weeks since I visited with our next guest, my friend Dwayne Patterson with HotAir.com, host of the Dwayne's World podcast. There's so much to catch up on. How are you?
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
Sue. How are you?
Sue is actually off today, so you don't even have to get the hi Sue in there because she's celebrating her wedding anniversary in Chicago. She's been married for a year now.
I see. Well, that's kind of a thing to do. So I want to take just a quick second and thank. This is a season of gratitude, right?
It is.
I mean, okay.
No doubt.
I want to thank every single listener in the 97.1 FM Talk audience. Every single one of them. Why? Because in their own way, they contributed to making the upbringing and the education possible.
I know where this is going.
So that we can have Jasmine Crockett next year. Thank you. Thank you. On behalf of all of us in my line of work as a radio producer, as a columnist, as a podcaster, as a broadcast professional, thank you, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything you have made possible.
She is the gift that keeps on giving. And look, you also have to thank us because we provided Cori Bush for all those years as well.
I know, but Cori Bush, she was like the John the Baptist compared to Jasmine Crockett, right? I mean, she's referring to herself as what would JC do?
Yes, I know. But look, Dwayne, she's the school that she went to here, MSCDS, very fancy private school, right? She's not dumb. There's no way.
She's not a dummy at all.
Right.
She just plays one when it works for
exactly.
her.
Exactly. But you don't really think that Jasmine Crockett, if she was on sodium pentothal or whatever the truth serum is, and you asked her, do you really think you have even a shot in hell at becoming the next United States Senator from Texas? She would say no, of course, but she's doing...
I don't think that's the point. The point is not the point, right?
She wants the attention.
It's grift. It's grift. It's a book deal.
Yes.
She wants the grift.
No, I agree with all that. Yeah, it's grift, and it's just she wants the attention. It's all for that. And she, look, to a certain extent, maybe you can't blame her because we've, and this is where I feel a little guilty because she is the gift that keeps on giving for guys like you and me, but she's just a clown show and I hate giving her the attention. We have this this woman here in Missouri and I don't even know who she is. I won't even mention her name, but she's got a fair amount of followers. She ran for office and was unsuccessful, but people on my side love to give her tweets attention to mock her or to rip on her. And my point is always, she loves it. She's doing it because she wants the attention and she wants the people to pick on her. My guess is Jasmine Crockett loves it when, you know, Trump brings up her name, right?
Oh, of course she does. I mean, she's an attention hound, and I totally understand that. But by being the attention hound, she and Zohran Mamdani are going to be the face of the Democratic Party next year. And I just think that's just spectacular.
It is spectacular, but I had my friend Sean Spicer on earlier, and of all the people that I talk with, pundit-wise, you included, he perhaps may have expressed the most concern about where the Republicans might be heading into next year with the midterms because of economic situations. So we know that President Trump was in Pennsylvania last night. It was a long speech. He was doing a lot of weaving. There was a lot of fun. He made fun of the turban and Ilhan Omar. That was a special moment. But
and her brother.
What? that she married, right? What? But what? Look, I'm in the camp that says, yeah, we've got these special elections. We've seen some things that are not really favorable for Republicans. Sean pointed toward Tennessee and says, look, if you can't blow out a woman who hates Nashville and country music, then you shouldn't be in the race. Now that guy did win over the nutbag in Tennessee, but you know that the legacy media is going to make this all about promises that weren't kept and the economy. And the economy is what is going to be the focus next year. So what did you think of last night and how that might portend to what might happen here in the coming weeks as the Republicans head into 2026?
There's lots of doomers on our side of the aisle, my side of the aisle, that are hitting the panic button saying, oh, we're going to get killed, we're going to get crushed, things are, all is lost. I'm not buying it at all. And I could hit the panic button if we get to summer next year and the economy is still kind of sputtering, waiting to really fire, on all engines. And the president's not doing any messaging and we're still kind of scattershot, then I'm really concerned. But here's the deal. $18 trillion of investment has come into this country. There is factories being built all over the country. There is all sorts of onshoring going on. CAFE standards have been lowered, so we're going to start built. The CEO of Ford said new cars are going to be a lot less expensive than they used to be because they don't have to meet all these stupid, silly edicts by a bunch of enviro leftists. So you got all sorts of things going on that the economy is going to come to us. It's like playing a game of football, and you control the line of scrimmage. Eventually, the game's going to come to you if you dominate the line, right?
And I think, look, my concern would be this, and you know, I'm more of a, you know this because you've known me now for a couple of years, I'm more of a glass half empty type of guy. But on the economy, I see things that very much concern me, including a lot of debt that households are, taking on. And when we were coming out of the pandemic, I mean, that had been reduced to almost nothing.
Yep.
So people are still going to buy, and they're still buying, but they're putting it on the credit cards, and they're doing that more than ever. And then you have prices that are increasing. So what I think, was misinterpreted on the affordability thing last night by a lot on the left, because Trump's not calling affordability a hoax. He's saying, look, the Democrats have come up with this new talking point and they want to hit him every time on this quote unquote affordability. But having said that, look, this is real. And, the one figure that sticks out, I'm not even sure who first told me this. I've had to share this with my wife just as a reminder. If you spend $27 extra a day, that's $10,000 a year. And you're hard-pressed to tell me that people aren't spending, on average, at least that much a day extra because of the price of things. So if your paycheck's going up, it might not be going up by $10,000 or whatever the number might be. So no matter where you are, this may sound weird, but no matter where you are socioeconomically, there are relative things. Obviously, people who don't make as much money are going to get hurt harder. But let's face it, people who make a lot of money also have higher levels of expenses and they're buying all those cars and they have to be responsible with their decisions. I guess my point is this, whatever you want to call it, the economy, the affordability, that's something that's real that people are feeling and they still feel it when they go to the grocery store, et cetera.
No doubt. What I will say, what's gas right now in St. Louis?
It's pretty low. We're under, I think $2.50.
To remind
remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
At this point,
you're 250.
Well, you know I'll have to let me check on that. You're in California. You're probably at $5.
I'm right at about 506 for the good stuff. About 506.
Okay, you're so, talking, but that's for premium.
That's for premium,
okay,
but
yeah.
But you know that's
271. I know I have premium too. Unfortunately, 271 for regular unleaded right now. That's what we have right now.
Okay, so where was it when Joe Biden was at 9% inflation?
A lot higher. Yeah.
So the bottom line is things are improving compared to where they were 2 years ago. Is it as fast and as it reverse the damage of the accumulated inflation year to year that we suffered under 4 years of Biden? No, not yet. What I'm saying is by the time you get to June and those factories start hiring people and we're starting to produce more, oil continues to be manufactured and exported, and we start looking at $1.80 in some places. And with that, everything that moves in this country, whether it's by rail, whether it's by truck, everything that moves, including diesel, that is going to start lowering the cost of things compared to what it had been. There is lots of indicators that it's going to be coming to us. Two things have to happen. One, government has to get out of the way, continue to get out of the way, and let us continue to develop energy and get out of the way of business so that they can onshore and start hiring Americans and get everybody back to work again. That's all well and fine. The second thing is Donald Trump has to go out and do what he did in 2024. There is no better salesman for Trump's agenda than Donald Trump. He did the gig in Pocono in Pennsylvania last night, and that's really the first one he's done in a long time. Susie Wiles, his chief of staff, was on a podcast this week and promised that he is going to do in 2026 what he did in 2024. He's going to barnstorm the country. And when he starts doing that, you're going to start seeing the message change, because right now the narrative is all online by lefties. It's all online by media types.
There's no doubt. Right.
Saying how bad everything is. And so everybody's like, oh, I guess everything's bad. Is it truly as bad as it was 2 years ago?
Well, no, I'll even go a step further. Look, this is where I would encourage the audience to be very cautious, and even I have to tell myself, because these are some of the same people who in the spring were telling us we're going to be in a recession right now because of the tariffs, right?
Right, and we're not.
Right. All the experts.
We're looking at 4.2% GDP growth for this coming quarter.
Look, Bessent is saying that. I mean, if that really hits, that's an incredible number moving forward. There's no doubt.
It's hard to be talking the R word when you're looking at a plus four number.
Yeah, it's impossible to talk about that. All right, let me talk to you about a couple of different things, just because we haven't had time to catch up in a couple of weeks. This whole thing with Tim Walz and Ilhan Omar and the Somalians. Here's Trump last night.
The people from Somalia, they hate our country. And they think we're stupid people, which actually, when they allow that to happen, they are. That's headed by Governor Walz, one of the dumber people around. No, but he's given, but think of it. He's given not like peanuts, billions.
All right, so in this situation, here we have, and look, Dwayne, this is uncomfortable because I don't like it when Trump, you know, kind of lowers the bar and he does a lot with the sophomoric stuff. But on the other hand, the story then becomes, and maybe this is why I don't like it, the story then becomes about that instead of the billions of dollars in fraud, right? Yeah. I mean, exactly. Maybe someone should have a little interest in telling the story of how that happened. Now, that reporting's been out there for a while. I've had people, David Strom, you know, from Hot Air, we've talked about some of this stuff up there, but then it becomes a national story and people are like, oh my God, that's a ton of money that's happening. And I think what really gets people, you know, back on their heels, and the president addressed it a little bit last night, there's no effort in that particular situation. I know some people who live in Minneapolis who visit up there. There's a lot of Somalis up there, and there doesn't seem to be much of an effort, if any, to assimilate. And that's one of the issues I think Americans have, is this lack of willingness on the part of a lot of the immigrants to assimilate, to learn the language, to be part of our culture.
That's exactly right. And that's one of the things that Trump said in Pocono yesterday, which is, look, if you're not willing to contribute to our culture, if you're not willing to share our values, we don't need you. We don't want you. I mean, just find someplace else. If you don't want to contribute to everything that makes this country great, if you don't want to contribute to the experiment and have us all be one big melting pot, if you don't want to contribute to that, you just want to come here and snipe at it. Well, bye. We don't need you. There's plenty of other people that want to be here that want to be here, right? So that's that same message. But in Minnesota, there's a couple of takeaways to that. $8 billion is what I'm hearing, is north of $8 billion is the amount of fraud when you actually start adding it up. Scott Johnson of Powerline has been talking about this for, 18 months, almost 2 years? He's been reporting on this before Chris Rufo finally got some exposure to it, and then the story caught fire and took off. But people have known about this fraud
several
for a
years,
year and a half.
Right. Yeah, I've talked about it
Kamala
before.
Kamala Harris was supposed to have vetted Tim Walz, and this didn't come up anywhere.
Okay, that is something. Like, it's almost like they didn't vet him at all. I mean,
isn't it?
It really is. All right, by the way, on that topic, Tim Walz and Gavin Newsom, check this out.
But I think this notion of toxicity and masculinity needs to be separated. And I think it's been conflated. And I think we're going to have to work on that a little bit. And I think there is a crisis.
I think some of us scare them. I think I scare them a little bit why they spend so much time on it. No, I'm serious, because I can fix a truck. They know I'm not bullshit on this.
Yeah.
I'm not putting this in people's grill. I don't know if my identity is not hunting. My identity is not football coaching. My identity is not, you know, a beard and a truck.
Yeah, there he is. The poster child for masculinity, Tim Walz. Doesn't get any better than that, does it, Dwayne?
Jazz hands. Yes, Governor Jazz Hands and Governor Hairdo. That's what screams masculinity to me. You put those two in a room together, and it's basically the political equivalent of Dumb and Dumber, right? I mean, Gavin Newsom, don't even get me started on him. He was complaining that because of climate change, He surveyed the fire damage as the fire was going on here in Pacific Palisades and Pasadena, and he's now claiming that he was a victim of the climate changes because his hair caught fire with a burning ember.
No, he did not say that. Are
Honest
you serious?
To God,
oh, I missed
he
that.
Said that.
I
he
missed
said that.
That,
and his press office, when pressed about it, they released a video of him looking like a superhero with his cape blowing in the wind, with his chin up, surveying the damage as it's going on. And they said, see, this is proof. There's only one thing that's missing from that video, his hair catching on fire. Other than that, it totally is corroborating.
You know, you bring up climate change. Let me touch base on this before I let you go, because it's really interesting. It's a topic that I've talked about literally for decades. I've never bought into the hysteria and the alarm. I've always described myself as a lukewarmer. I understand that there are warming trends and the climate has changed and all these things. And maybe we're causing part of it, but I don't think there's any proof that we're causing all of it. And I do know that there's nothing we can do to solve any of it outside of just shutting off most of the planet, not just this country, but China and India. But it's interesting because finally, after decades of saying stuff and mocking all this climate alarmism out there, which, you know, all you have to do is go back to 1994 in the New York Times and look at the apocalyptic predictions and all this stuff. I'm sure you've heard even more of those out in California. But that house of cards is collapsing. Isn't it interesting?
It's not only collapsing, it's past tense has collapsed. One of the clowns that's running for governor out here, we've got jungle primaries in California, so 1,000 people run, right? One of the people running is Tom Steyer, a billionaire, who made his fortune basically destroying the climate. And once he made his billion in the business world, he got guilty about it, and he's been running on climate change ever since, trying to give all of his money away to climate causes. He's run for governor before, but what makes it different this time compared to last time is his main campaign plank 4 years ago when he tried to run unsuccessfully was everything had to be climate changey, right? We had to stop oil, stop fossil fuel, had to move to electric. Just everything about his platform was all about energy, reducing it, clean energy, and all that kind of stuff. This time, when he made his announcement, he gave a 30-minute speech to like four people. I mean, he's not going to get elected dog catcher here, but he makes his speech to like four people, and the two words together in the same sentence that were never mentioned in 34 minutes was climate change.
Isn't that interesting? Well, I think that they're even, look, the consultants are looking at the polling even amongst Democrats, and it's not an issue. It's not in the top 100 or 200.
No.
And by the way, adaptation is what we should have been talking about. And nothing against you, Duane, but seriously, I've said this for years. If we lose California in all this and Vegas becomes beachfront property, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You'd lose your home, and I don't like that. But
we keep joking if the San Andreas Fault ever did rupture, right? You know, catch a wave and surf to Denver, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, look.
No, California, you kind of want it a little bit because we still, at least for now, have two or three refineries which feed part of the West Coast. If those went offline, you'd have problems because we don't have enough refineries right now, and the nation's grid would not exactly work too well.
Hey, by
so
the
you
way,
kinda
yeah,
need
no,
it a
I know,
bit.
I'm teasing a little bit, but I want to go back to just one thing before I let you go because you were talking about jobs and energy and everything. This is something I mentioned with Sean Spicer too. Selena Zito was on a couple of days ago. We highlighted it. We have a steel plant, Granite City, across the river. Used to be big steel producers. We have a steel plant that is firing up again. 400 new jobs. That is a big story. But the
right.
legacy media is not covering that.
And those jobs, those 400 jobs that didn't exist before, like a month ago, are those minimum wage jobs?
No, they are not. They're good jobs.
They're not.
Right, exactly.
They're good jobs. They pay pretty good, don't they?
I believe they do.
Benefits?
They're probably union jobs as well, if I had to guess. Yeah.
And in that city, in those environs around where that steel mill is opening up, are there other supporting businesses that might see a little business pickup?
Well, Duane, if they're not, I bet there will be soon. I completely understand your point. Yeah, that's right. That's how it works. Duane Patterson, we'll talk next week. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, we'll see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.